and your little things.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
No.
Oh,
no,
with
you're
your hosts,
actually here.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
With our special guest, Crinkled Can.
Yeah. God damn it. Yes, the can from last week is still here. Staring at James. I think it's upset.
Yeah. As discussed last year, I brought home a shit ton of beer from Duluth.
Last episode?
Last episode, whatever.
Okay.
It feels like a year ago.
It really does. You are not wrong. Holy you are not shit. Wrong about that.
So, okay. but we are drinking more of what I brought home, beer-wise. So this time we are drinking the Thirsty Pagan. Let me see the name. To Everything There Is a Saison.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So it's even a pun.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, all of Thirsty Pagan's beers are puns.
Oh, God.
Salsa, I feel like you've given me two gifts.
James, you weren't here last week, but we did talk about how we all have to go to the North Shore, and you two and Joe and whomever else can go beer hopping, and then the rest of us that are not beer people can
occasionally brush with our acquaintance, Gregory. Yeah.
I still feel bad that I fucking... Like, oh, did you run into Gregory? God damn. Oh, shit. Oh, God, you did. Ah, ah. Oh, fuck.
It was pretty entertaining to listen to, though.
Oh, good.
I will tell you.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad for that.
To Everything There Is a Saison. They've got the Hot to Trotsky Rye IPA. The Pier 20 Hipster Fuel Hazy IPA. Yeah, no, they've got some. The Gunpowder Treason English Mild.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
These are very good.
Yep.
Mm. All right. Well, some lawn chairs. Bonk.
I have a Smith & Forge.
And some scotch.
Oh, wow.
And some scotch. What kind of scotch do I have?
You have the Benriach. 17 Ooh. Heavily peated port finish.
Oh, yeah, I did say peaty.
Yeah. That Benriach is pretty good.
Oh, yes. That is what I needed after this goddamn week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not going to talk about my week because it involves other people.
Sure.
And I'm going to respect privacy because I didn't ask. Mm-hmm. But, you guys, I've been just near tears for the past few days. I am raw. I am so raw. Want the raw to stop. And yeah. Yep, that's it. That's my week.
Well, we'll get you a little bit toasty and then you'll be better.
Good. Yeah. I'm on it. Working on it.
In that case, my week was better.
Good. I heard...
pretty exhausting still. I started my new job.
Yay!
Very good.
So Friday was my last day at...
The
place. And yesterday was my first day at the new place.
Yay!
And my brain is pudding. Absolute pudding.
Yeah.
There is fucking much to learn.
Good.
And I mean, this company is huge. And has a bunch of different divisions, and they're all like acronyms. And I'll stop the guy who's training me. I'll stop and I'll be like, "What does that mean?" He's like, "I don't actually know."
It's a TLA.
Yeah, it's just a lot of the divisions are acronyms, and he doesn't really know what those acronyms mean.
Now I'm trying to figure out what TLA is.
Three letter acronym.
Yeah, pretty much.
God damn it!
We were.
I hate you. I hate you so much right now. I can't process this stuff.
That's tough but fair.
Did I say that I'm raw and I can't? My brain is done.
No, but we were going through the queue and he was kind of helping me. Like, this is how you do. And he was like, "Oh, don't worry. This is a TCM. This don't worry about this right now." And I'm like, "What's TCM?"
Turner Classic Movies.
I don't know. one.
Yeah.
And then we're going through, and he's like, yeah, you know, we had one ticket, and he was like, oh, you know, so the client is asking about this 512. What a 512 is, it's actually a 212 that's a 512 because it's this. Except this system here has converted those into 990s. But we got a 997 back, so it's not our problem.
What was it? I don't remember the
exact line. No one told me there was going to be math.
I don't remember the exact line from Good Morning Vietnam, but it was something like, oh, well, if the VP isn't a VIP, then we're all going to be stuck on KP until the... Right.
But it's a lot of acronyms and number codes.
Yeah.
And it just, it's flying at me right now. And it's my second day, and I just, oh, man.
Nice.
I'm so exhausted, just mentally tired. Because, I mean, it's just, after getting through all of the HR stuff, mm-hmm. then you've got to learn, like, the systems and the codes and the everything. And it's just, mm-hmm. It's bonkers.
You're bonkers.
Yeah. So, that's been my past couple days. It's just
you're a 90s sitting there in a cartoon bobcat police officer.
Yeah, just kind of sitting there in my chair, staring at the screen, dazed, going, "I don't what? What have I got myself into?" Uh-huh. but it'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm still excited about this job, despite all of the headache.
It's a lovely hoodie. Where did you get it?
Ireland.
Oh, sure. That's from Ireland.
Yeah. So wait, you're telling me the giant hoodie that says Ireland and has...
Ireland here.
Yeah.
Ireland here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Awesome. But my commute is a little longer now.
Well, of fucking course it is, Salsa.
Aww. Yep, I went from walking downstairs... to now it's a 17-mile commute.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
times are tough.
I know. Yeah. I actually hit the trip thing on my car. It's 17.0 miles. That's my commute.
What area?
It's in Eden Prairie.
I am in Eden Prairie.
It is right next to the Flying Cloud Airport.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
It's a little further out than me, I think.
So, yeah.
That was where I got to fly an airplane.
Cool.
At Salsa's current place of employment?
Mm-hmm. Hell if I know. Maybe.
Into it, whatever.
But yeah,
landed on the roof. Got it.
But it's...
Look, those things are hard to stop, okay?
It's huge. Fair. It's the campus is four buildings, and...
That's adorable.
Biggest company I've ever worked for.
That's so cute.
And, you know, look, the building I am in is just IT.
Mm.
The whole building.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, no, it's... No, I completely understand, but it's the biggest company I've ever worked for.
No, I'm teasing, but I also, like, I get it.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's international shipping, and so it's just huge, and you have to know.
Like, you say international shipping, do you have to put your finger next to your nose like that?
No, sometimes I put it in my nose.
Oh. I believe that to be accurate.
But like, so I had to take training today on how not to bribe government officials from other countries.
Aww. And things like that. An extraordinarily important lesson.
And apparently not one that everybody gets.
Yeah.
Apparently. Hmm. But, yeah.
Fuck.
God.
Everything is terrible.
Yeah. But the HR emails they send out telling you that you have to do this training now is, like, weirdly ominous.
Oh?
Like, yeah, like it's they send you an email, and they're like, you have been flagged for having to take this. It's just like,
oh, God.
What?
Flagged is not the word.
No, just selected. God.
Selected.
Exactly.
Selected.
But it's just like a little, like, anxiety-inducing when you get this. Just like, you have been identified as somebody who needs to do this. And it's just like, shit.
Oh,
that's what it was, is you have been identified. Ooh. As, which is... If you're an HR person, do not put "you have been identified as" as the opening line to somebody needing to take training. It's just,
No, that's terrifying.
But, no, the team, you know, I get along so far with everybody. It's 2 days in. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, sooner or later, they'll actually meet you, and then...
Well, they already know about my extracurriculars.
Oh, good.
So,
like my drumming.
Yes.
Did they know about your drumming?
My boss took me to lunch today, with one of the other team members, and we were just chatting about stuff, and you know, asking me about the sideshow stuff that I do, and they were like, "What's your, you know, do you have a stage name?" And I was like, "Yeah, Casimir the Hungry." And he goes, "That's you?
Oh,
what the shit?"
And I was like, "Yep." And he's like, "Oh, we loved your show." He was like,
"Oh,
well, all right,
oh,
all right."
God. Yeah.
So yeah,
where did they see you? At Minnesota?
Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Nice,
that's delightful. So,
no, I was quite surprised at that one. But no, it's it's a lot to take in, but it's good so far.
I tell you about how I got the job at IB.
Possibly, but I don't remember.
TJ had referred me.
Okay.
And it was down to me and this other guy. The other guy had a 4-year degree, and I had my 2-year tech.
Mm-hmm.
And we both did equally well on this, the test. The what do you know? How would you get around this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So I felt actually pretty good about that anyway. Just like, oh, right. He had more schooling, but we're still very similar areas. We both did interviews. And they were like, oh, so, you know, TJ, do you blow fire? And I was like, not only do I blow fire, but I can dance with it. And they're like, what? And so, like, I described poi to them. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, talked about it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's cute what TJ does.
Fuck. Oh.
Let's be clear. TJ is 1,000 times better at fire breathing and manipulation than I am. However... To be able to be like, I mean, yeah, it's cute, but he can't do this.
It's fine.
You know?
Most people are satisfied by it.
So, but that was, apparently they were having conversations with team members and stuff, and they're like, we should hire the fire dancer. Because fire dancer.
That seems like...
So that's basically how I got my job at IB. Was
that seems correct.
Because of circus.
So, no, I'm happy...
Actually, you know what? It's really good they recognized you as Casimir and not somebody from Vilification
Test. Oh, shit.
I mean, my last boss recognized me as that, so I still got that job.
All right.
Well, there's that.
Wow. Man, you did well despite that then, huh?
Yeah.
Good job.
No, it was. Damn. I didn't realize he knew that, but apparently TJ had told him or something, because it was one of the first week of school, and we were you know, as our team would, giving each other a hard time, and my boss is like, don't, just be careful, because he will, yeah.
And you're like, how do you know that?
You don't want to start this one with him. No. It's like, oh, thank you.
So, it's been kind of.
I don't know that anything that I would say is work appropriate. But.
I mean, nothing we said at work.
No, that's fair.
So. Also, that as a vilifier, it is kind of nice to be like, I'm going to step back from this because I do this professionally.
Yeah.
Look, unless you guys are going to start shelling out that sweet, sweet
$15
for an hour, I'm going to have to not participate in this.
I'm sorry, I could rebut right now, but I'm not getting paid to do it, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also have to wake up 2 hours earlier, which is an adjustment.
Yeah.
That is an adjustment.
Well, yeah.
Because, I mean, before I started work at 9 before.
Yeah.
It was 9 to 5. And so I could roll out of bed at 8 and still be able to get my son to daycare and back and, you know, to work by 9 easily. Mm-hmm. But now I'm getting up with my wife and, you know, all of us are getting up at the same time, 2 hours earlier than I'm used to. And so it's just like, going to take. It's going to be an adjustment period. But
that can be kind of nice, though, too.
I'm getting done a lot sooner.
Yeah,
which is nice. But yeah, until I get the new sleep schedule down, it's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
Just so there is the physical tiredness, and then there's the mental exhaustion of learning
right.
all this new stuff and having information fly at me. So
yeah,
I understand this.
I might be about to join you in that. Just had a second interview for a place that wants to hire me as an intermediate level engineer for desktop services.
Cool.
Which is kind of a big, scary fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's probably going to turn out that I've at least, like, had a passing experience with the majority of what I'll be doing there.
Right.
Right.
But having that as a job title responsibility and being paid for it is something completely different and kind of intimidating. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm also kind of hoping for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Bonk, bonk. I'm just hoping I get to keep my job. That'd be
I'm
cool.
I'm hoping you get to keep your job, too.
There's a lot of readjustment happening right now. So that's concerning. I'm gonna be moving buildings. So my new building, I can talk about this. I'm going to be moving buildings.
Yeah.
Because we have more than four buildings.
They're big buildings, okay?
Okay, Salsa. Oh,
yes, I'm sure they're very big.
Okay. Oh, that sounds adorable. So I'm moving buildings still in Eden Prairie, but it's not quite as swank as my current building. Like, if my current building is, I think I had told Joe, if my current building is like being in Bloomington, like if it was a suburb, mm-hmm. my current one would maybe be Bloomington, like the nicer parts of Bloomington. Then my next location is more like Richfield, maybe the nicer parts of South Minneapolis.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Right.
Right. It's still more, you know, and so look, I did some digging into it and I'm like, yeah, their exercise place isn't quite as good. They don't have a meditation room like this place does. Yeah. There's, yeah. But they still have a smoothie bar.
You have to walk farther for massages.
Actually, no, it's the same distance for massages. Oh,
well, we don't have the smoothie bar or the massages, but they do have a movie theater.
Ooh.
Ah.
And this is kind of cool. They have walking desks.
Oh.
Like, they have, there's, like, four stations with a couple walking desks and a couple cycling desks, too.
Cycling desks, I would be about.
So yeah, cycling, I think.
Hmm.
So you can head over there and remote into your laptop and work from the walking desk.
That's pretty swank. Yeah, I don't have that. God damn it.
I think once I get a foosball table. And they've got a Wii U and a PS4 in the break room.
Hmm. Okay.
Neat.
All right.
So. Yeah, it seems like a lot of, you know, fun amenities. I found out today that our holiday party,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be mm-hmm. in January,
mm-hmm.
Is, and I don't know this for a fact, but it sounds like it's going to be at the Viking Stadium.
Oh.
Huh.
Just like they rent out the stadium.
Neat.
And for their party, apparently cool. the year that it opened, they had their party there, and it sounds like they're going to do it there again, possibly.
Well, all right.
But they're just like, yeah, go out in the field. Apparently, they were like, they had it set up so whoever wanted to could try to kick field goals and stuff like that.
Oh wow!
So yeah.
Oh, that would be super cute. Fun.
So I think if that's a thing, I might actually go to a work holiday party.
Huh.
Neat.
I know.
Oh,
right? I know.
That's weird. Yeah.
And apparently, if you work there for 10 years, when you reach your 10-year,
mm-hmm.
you know, anniversary, they send you to a they fly you out to Florida for like 4 days on this island, apparently, on the... Like,
what?
The, yeah.
Are you sure are this isn't a cult?
Read Dianetics? Is there,
right.
No, they're just like, yeah, if you've been here for 10 years, we'll fly out and, you know, you go to this little resort thing, basically, for a few days. And you can either lay on the beach or you could do horse riding or kayaking or
snorkeling,
you know,
or some
exactly.
shit.
Yeah. Horseback
Deep
swimming.
Sea fishing is
horseback
one of the
swimming.
Thing he mentioned, so... Yeah, it sounds like...
The tough part is putting the snorkels on the horses.
Yeah. God. Sounds like, God. The, you know, they have some fun things sprinkled here and there. So.
James!
Yeah?
Replacing you.
What about you, James?
A couple of things. I don't remember if I said, but I got accepted for the apartment that I applied to.
Yay!
So I'll be moving right around my birthday. Which is pretty fucking exciting.
Good.
I also am applying for a full-time position somewhere, and it's, as I said, nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And then I'm going deer hunting this weekend. For the first time ever.
But are you going to cry when you shoot Bambi's mom?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, I won't
know,
be allowed
you,
to
James.
Shoot Bambi's mom. That's... I only have the kind that lets me shoot Bambi's dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck that guy.
But I...
he was never around anyway.
I know, right?
Right. Seriously. Sighted in a rifle this last weekend, and I've enjoyed going to the range and, you know, shooting at targets, because paper targets, fuck them. And I made a mistake, and I was relieved to find out that it is a common mistake, and that is, when you have a high-powered rifle, if you do not place the
firmly on your shoulder,
the stock
yeah.
firmly on your shoulder.
Everybody learns that one.
It'll slip out under or above, and then if it slips under, you're gonna catch the scope with your eye.
Yep.
Everybody learns that one. And I did. You might notice that I have a little extra eyebrow today. So I have what's called scope bite.
Mm-hmm.
I went there to sight a rifle, and I sure as fuck sighted it.
When they said, keep your eye on it.
Right.
They didn't actually mean... Have you seen that little video?
Of the eye on the ball?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a little kid going to hit a T-ball, and his dad's like, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball. And so he like puts the bat down and walks over and tries to put his eye on the ball. Mm. It's adorable. Anyway. Also, I picture James totally doing that at, like, age 6.
That seems right.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good time with this particular rifle once it was not, you know, invading my face. But I felt blood and was like, oh, I've definitely, like... Oh, yeah, I need to wipe a little bit of eyebrow off of this eyepiece now. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
I walked over to one of the range officials, and I was like, I'm bleeding from the face. And they were like, oh, yeah, well, welcome to the club. You know, we've all done it. And, here's this horror story from when this happened to this other person. And, well, at least it wasn't this other thing that people usually do. And, you know,
oh, good job on not doing the usually. Yeah.
Well, most people go there with, like, high-caliber handguns and then choke up on them too much. And then the slide...
Smack them in the... Yeah.
...rockets back and just... cuts a channel through their hand.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's awful to even contemplate.
So
just wear a little extra eyeshadow this week. You'll be fine.
I already am.
Yep.
You can see. I've got a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was going to ask about that and then just assume the story would come out in podcasts. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But I'm okay with it. Once I got the feeling for not, you know... taking the scope to the face, I did reasonably well.
Good
for my first attempt. And I'm going to go find out how I feel about hunting. I will tell you that I feel weirdly maybe a little bit better about it than factory farming.
That actually doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
What were you shooting, if I may ask?
Oh, a .30-06.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it was a .30-06 at 50 meters. I'll show you my target during the break. But
why does it look like a silhouette of me, James?
Reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
science.
Yeah. So
I'm just impressed that they got the beard and the silhouette. Like,
it's actually just a picture of Kid Rock.
Yes.
So there's that. But no, they gave me a little cloth that helps the clotting and everything like that, and I looks like I don't need stitches, so it should be fine.
You got a clotting cloth?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Well, it was pouring blood down my face. Yeah.
Clotting cloth.
Yeah.
It just, that sounds...
It's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so I did that, and then I have now submitted the second, possibly final draft of the script for the show that Salsa will be directing.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. And then I've been playing Game Boy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The system is down. The system is down.
God.
But,
Eric Thompson says one funny thing, and you have to run with it for years.
Damn right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if his coattails are going to be that big, I'm going to ride them for years.
That seems like a good plan.
Yep.
No, I've been playing Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, and I've been doing that on my lunch break. I've been hanging out in my car over lunch and just
I cannot Game Boy. Find my DS.
Aww. Oh.
I cannot find it, and I'm frustrated.
Yeah,
with that.
You remember when you sold it for crack?
No.
Well, that would explain.
Well,
it.
Yeah, maybe you didn't then.
For the listeners at home, Salsa is currently giving us shifty eyes.
Oh, is that what that was supposed to be?
I think so. I've only ever seen the emoji.
That's fair.
Hmm. So there's that.
I've seen that emoji too.
Uh-huh. Quizzical eyebrow.
Ooh, I love quizzical eyebrow.
I now love receiving texts through my car's stereo system because Siri will read the description of the emoji. Yes. And it makes every text that much better.
I'm going to... does it work for, like, Facebook Messenger, too, or does it have to be text-specific?
I think it has to be texts.
Oh, now I have to actually send you texts.
Right.
God damn it.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm doing this on the way home. I'm just going to send you all the messages.
Yeah. This is the new game.
Like,
just
pure emoji.
It's pure emoji. Weren't those like 90s CDs with like Enya?
No.
Oh.
You're wrong.
Oh. Yeah. That happens.
God.
Speaking of which, I got to ride in a Tesla yesterday.
Ooh. God damn it.
One of my coworker who's training me.
I need to leave, you guys.
No, my coworker who's training me, he has a Tesla.
Ooh. Oh.
And it's crazy to see him, in order to turn on the car, key in a 4-digit code on the touchscreen.
Yes.
He sits down, doot, 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 doot,
yeah.
Off we go. Like,
nice.
That is technology.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's not very different from me starting my car.
Do you key in a four-digit code?
No, I just push a button.
Oh, right. But the no. This isn't a button, okay? This is a touchscreen.
James, you don't understand.
Oh, excuse me. It's a series of virtual buttons.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Nothing so crass as a physical. It physically moves.
Ugh. Yes. How plebeian.
Exactly.
Oh,
enough
my
of this
God.
Puerile nonsense.
Oh.
No, it was rather interesting.
I can keep sipping my scotch.
I never realized that driving could be pedestrian.
That was good.
That was. Like, I want to be mad, but I actually can't. That one was actually good.
Damn it.
It's going to be a good day today.
No, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
The next 2 hours are going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But,
anyway, Tesla. Yeah.
No, it was just a really fancy, like, thing to get in. Because you walk towards the car... And the like door handles are just they're flush with the car, and he like takes out his fob and pushes a button, and the door handles like come out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It becomes a door.
Yeah. It's but
neat.
No, it's I'm as part of the process of like getting my workstation set up is ordering my keyboard and mouse.
Ooh.
Nice.
Like they're like, go to the what is it, the CDW website and pick one. And then put in a requisition.
Are any of them pink?
Not that I know
God
of.
God damn it.
But like my coworker has one.
How would he know?
The mouse good point. The mouse that my coworker has looks like a fucking transformer.
Yeah.
Because it's fully it's not like a sleek body. It's like, imagine if a mouse started to explode and is frozen in time. Like,
I think I know exactly the model.
You probably know what I'm talking about, but like, and every bit is like slightly adjustable, and and like
I know
parts
exactly
clip
one.
On and come off of it and stuff like that. And they're just like, yeah.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, you can add and subtract weights.
Yep,
weights.
Yep. You have different pads that clip on the bottom that reduce or increase the amount of friction.
Oh wow!
When it's sliding around on the table,
Jesus Christ.
Like the part that your palm goes on can slide forward and backward and up and down and side.
I like
to side
it a lot,
and I was just like, no, it looks like it's gonna. It looks like a transformer. I'm afraid this thing is going to come to life and bite my hand or something like that. But yeah, it was just like, order your keyboard and mouse, and then order your headset, and then. Like, I talked to my boss. I was like, can I get a second dock and bring it home for my workstation at home? And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, there's
neat.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, all right, then.
I can get a little... I've got my badge to get in the doors and stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can also order a little, like, sticky tab that... It's just a little round disc about the size of a quarter that you, like, stick to your cell phone...
Mm-hmm.
And that's your badge.
Neat.
Yeah, it's just fun things like that. Just little kind of fun little things that like you can really customize your workspace and how you do things. And that's another thing they tell you is just, they don't image computers. They don't do imaging.
Oh shit.
They're just like, here's the basic programs you want and everything else, whatever you want. You do you.
I'm just going to blink at you repeatedly.
As somebody whose job it is to manage that ecosystem, that's terrifying.
Right. Well,
but the thing is they trust us.
Oh.
Like, I actually, in my onboarding training, like, they had the IT guy come in, you know, because part of the whole training, everybody has the IT guy come in. But the IT guy, he's like, okay, you know, you're IT, so stop me if this gets over your head. And then he flew through everything in, like, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. He's like, you got that? And I'm like, yep. And he's like, cool. And he just off he went, good. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing. They wouldn't have hired you if you didn't know what you were doing.
Wow.
Well, you know, basically. No, the level of trust that they have, and they're just like, yeah, as long as you get to the right conclusion, you can use whatever tool you want.
Nice. Neat.
That's cool. Do they, I mean, do they still run updates through something, though? Like, updating computers? Or
they
are you responsible
for doing... They do updates, and...
Duty.
The one thing I was setting Doo-doo up... Updates. I was setting up my
version 2.
I was setting up my macros today for things, and he was like, one thing is sometimes when they do periodic updates, they will blow out your macros. So, save them somewhere. And so you can reload them after periodic updates or something, you know. But he's like, I just will warn you, that is a thing that might happen. But other than
sure.
So.
Cool. All right. That makes me feel better. Because, like, I'm just picturing you with just machine and whatever, and now you're responsible for all of the stuffs and the...
No, they were just... they were like, you have access to everything. I was like, really? They're like, yeah.
Kind of scares me, actually.
It kind of scares me, too. But again, they just trust you. They're like, we would not have hired you if we didn't trust you.
Right. Here's the thing. I have, in my lengthy career in the computer industry, been a developer and been frustrated at the lack of access that I've had.
Yep.
And then I've been a help desk person. And been frustrated at the grand amounts of access that dev has.
I do
just
want
like, oh, fuck, that's want, why you lock that shit
I
down.
Do want some caveats. It's just my department.
Okay.
Really. Oh, okay.
That's better.
Okay, because that is better. Because the thing is you know, even some IT people have more specialized, you know, things.
Right.
The department I'm in, specifically EDI support, we touch... everything. Like, we are the intersection of everything in that company. All we are the intersection of finance, of logistics, of ordering, of invoicing, of everything. Everything comes through us.
Okay.
Which is why they're like, we've been moved from department to department like 6 times in the last 2 years. Just because nobody really knows where to put us.
Okay,
because,
sure.
Because they are at the intersection of everything.
Okay.
And so you're kind of...
It sounds kind of opsy.
So they jump from department to department to department, always hoping that the next one
will
be their
the last.
Will be the leap.
Be the leap
home. but so because we are at that intersection of everything, we have to have access to everything.
Sure.
So,
I mean, that part makes sense to me.
But yeah, it's good. I'm rather enjoying it right now. There's also like there's this weird level of busyness, but also laissez-faire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they're very busy. They're busy all day.
Yes.
You know? All right. But like the last place I worked was news, where every issue
was on fire.
Exactly. It's
right.
Our competitor got their story out 15 seconds before we did. This is the end of the fucking world.
Yep.
Oh god, I don't miss that. I still have nightmares. Honestly,
I know it's.
I
looked.
It never goes away.
The phone sound still makes me wake up in a sweat.
Oh my god, I will be walking through Target or something with my family, and I will hear that ringtone, and my wife knows.
Yeah.
To like touch me on the shoulder and like, all right.
Yeah. I still use it as an emergency alarm for early wake ups.
Oh god.
No, I couldn't do that
because I could not do that.
Yeah. No.
I get up in fight or flight at that point.
Yeah. But I popped up the queue and there was some issues that were like open like 2 weeks ago.
Huh.
And I was just like, you know, is this normal? And he's like, yeah, we've been understaffed. We get to it when we get to it.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, they're busy. It's not like they're sloughing around all day, you know, hanging around the water cooler or anything like that.
Oh
they sit there and work all day. But it's not that same level of of holy shit, we have to fix everything now.
I mean, I suppose I can talk about this now that the company no longer exists and
has for another month and a
well,
half or something.
I mean, my version of the company hasn't existed in forever. Yeah. So, yeah. Sure. No.
Statute of limitations is gone.
Yeah. One of the things that I did when I was there, in under like more of a project coordinator, resolutions type person, is the help desk at that time had 800 open tickets.
Fuck.
Yeah. So I went through and figured out what was actually an issue, what needed to be closed, what shouldn't be a fucking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it down to, I think, 80?
Mm-hmm.
Roughly there-ish.
Quite a reduction.
Yeah. But there had been things in there that had been open for 3 years.
Fuck.
And I'm just like, why does this exist? And they're like, oh, well, we need dev to do thing. Well, then shouldn't that be a task in their task management system? Like,
it is. It's just a very low priority task.
No, but I mean, like, it doesn't belong in the help desk queue.
Uh huh.
It belongs not with help desk.
Yeah.
Why is this with help desk? Oh, well, because blah, 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 blah. But you're not doing anything with it, so why is it here? Well,
Dev doesn't want it either.
Yeah, well, too bad.
Right.
Yeah. But that was what I did for like weeks. Is slowly worked through that and got it down from over 800.
Fuck.
Yeah. So like I don't know exactly what your guys' experience with help desk was, but yeah, I was like, let's just not get this over 100 again, you guys. That's pretty much my.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time on this. Like under 100 would be great. So I don't know what it was for you guys, but
I think at our busiest we probably had 100 tickets each.
Okay, each.
Each.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's impressive. All right.
I think the running constant, and that was like around the Olympics was, or around the time that a page would change.
No, it was when we were onboarding, because the big client had just bought out another company.
Okay.
And so half of the team was working on the onboarding.
Sure.
And so, like, that's what they did all day, which, again, why support was doing that is...
That's a great question.
Still beyond us.
Oh, yeah.
We still don't understand that, but our old director insisted that we be a part of that process.
Okay.
Probably because we were the only ones who were going to do it right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that part.
Yeah.
But half of our team was doing that. And so the other half that was still doing tickets, yeah, it was over 100 tickets per person.
Wow. So. All right. Well, I don't know how you guys fucked that up then, because when I left it...
On average, I think it was like 50 to 60 tickets to a person.
About that.
Yeah.
When everything was running optimally and we had everybody firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
But then when I got fired and rehired, after the firing, they looked at all of that again, and same thing kind of you did. They looked at all those tickets that were sitting there and kind of went, why are these here?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why are we sitting on these? We
waiting for them to hatch.
Yeah, exactly. It's there is a corresponding something in a dev queue.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And so they created a separate generic support queue.
Oh, sure.
And just everything that wasn't active just got shunted into there.
Sure.
And if there was an update from either dev or the client, it would show up in a little, you know, report somewhere, and we'd pop in and go, oh, okay, you know, and either update the client or update the dev on whatever it was that was updated, and fucking, that was it.
Yeah.
Go back into this generic queue. It's not our problem.
Yep.
Not my ideal process.
Mm-hmm. Not, it wasn't ideal. Yeah. It was working with the system they had in place, but that meant that everybody went down to, like, 15 tickets, you know.
And that sounds pretty nice.
So,
how do we feel about a break?
I think a break.
We can do that.
I think we've bitched about work long enough.
Give me a break.
We'll be right back.
Break me off a piece of that.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we are back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And hey, let's do something we haven't done in a long time. What you've been watching, what you've been reading.
Who wants
to go first?
Jenna.
God.
Okay, not Jenna, apparently. James.
All right.
James. No, I mean, I could.
James, what do you think Jenna's going to talk about?
Klingon?
That's I was trying to avoid that.
What's she been reading?
Son of a
the
bitch.
Script.
Yep. No, actually, I don't give two flying fucks about the script.
Okay.
I write my own script, bitches.
You're right.
I saw for the first time that I remember, anyway, They Live.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Carpenter.
But which one is They Live?
That's the one with the... Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah.
Oh, with the glasses.
Right. Yeah.
That fight scene. Put on the glasses.
For a sec, I thought you were talking about them.
With the giant
ants.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, it's not that one.
No.
But that one is also amazing and has the Wilhelm scream in it, I want to say, a dozen fucking times.
Ooh.
It's so good.
But They Live. What did you think?
Yes, I finished watching that. Joe made me watch it. Like, it wasn't like it forced me to. He's like, you need to watch this. And I was like, okay.
It's culturally relevant.
Right.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and he was like, so? I'm like, I don't know what just happened at my face. Like, I think it's positive, but I literally, I'm trying to process, and I'm just... I don't know that there's anything there to process, and what just happened?
Uh-huh. This is actually a fairly relevant question, considering we were just talking about fight choreography.
Yeah.
What did you think of the amazingly long fight?
The put on the glasses fight?
That is like a 10-minute fight.
Right. So here's the thing. Like, you can tell... There may have been a wrestler or two involved in that particular fight. The first thing that caught my attention, like, you know, they're doing some good, pretty decent, although a little hokey fight stuff, but I think it fit the style of what they were
Absolutely.
Doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound effects. Like...
Street Fighter sound.
What the fuck? Like, it took me out for a second, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Just trying to imagine the Foley artist.
Are you goddamn fucking kidding me? And then, like, they did a weird, like, flippy thing, and then there was a in there, and I'm like, no, okay, this is appropriate. This is fine. Yeah. I accept this.
No, it's so good. Like, it is the fight that matches the criteria of it goes on way too long,
but then
it keeps going on longer until it becomes good again.
Oh, you're like, you guys are done. Nope, you're not done.
No.
You're not, okay, the wall thing was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you doing with a piece of wood? What the fuck are you... Okay, now you're done. Nope, okay, you're going
to
keep going. Okay. Yeah.
I'm at a point where South Park doesn't really have much in the way of joy for me anymore.
Oh, are you talking about the...
They had two of their characters effectively reenact
moment to moment
that entire fight. Because
then Joe showed me that.
Yes.
Yeah. And because, of course, Joe found that funny.
Seems right.
Because that's... Yeah.
Because
it's Joe and it's South Park.
Yeah.
It was Jimmy and Timmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Having a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'm pretty sure one of the moves that Jimmy did, I actually saw Esther do in Human Combat
that
Chess.
That seems right.
Like I'm pretty sure there's one point where Esther was like parallel to the ground while balancing on those goddamn sticks and then comes back in and like does a kicky thing. And I'm pretty sure, like, I'm like, wait a minute. That's seen that somewhere. Way more impressive live than it is in cartoon. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah. So, no. But, I mean, the movie was schlocky great. It was so stupid and so delightful. And still, like I think it had some very relevant concepts behind it. Like, mm-hmm. it's still relevant, which fucking 5 stars to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Staying power.
Yeah. But, like, life's a bitch and she's in heat. What? What the fuck is that? What?
That's also the origin of I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yep.
I was like he said that and I was like, oh, that's where that comes from.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. But so many lines like that, and I'm just like, what the fuck is even going on?
No, it is a brilliant, it is both a wonderful, like, satire of mm-hmm. of the world we live in, with just the right amount of cheese on top.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It was so cheesy, I was starting to get an upset stomach.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's that is,
oh
that
my
is
god.
The one of the greatest bad movies out there. It's right up there with, like, Ice Pirates and Six String Samurai.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm about it.
Definitely in there. So yeah, I got to see They Live.
Nice.
Awesome.
And the ending was just as bizarre as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's where you're going to end it?
Yep.
All right. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So.
It always, it strikes me as being the... like an inside out Twilight Zone.
Kind of, yeah. That's
yeah.
an interesting
way. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, saw that. I've been watching a lot of Queer Eye lately because I've needed to cry a lot, and so that's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Queer Eye Goes to Japan. I'm trepidatious. I'm concerned.
My wife has been watching that.
In Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does your wife have to say about it?
She's enjoying it.
Okay.
Hmm.
I've been really enjoying Queer Eye in, Middle America.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, especially, like, half a season just happened, like, in Kansas City, and I'm like, oh. But the one that I got to see, you guys, we didn't talk about a thing. I just realized we didn't talk about Give to the Max.
Oh, no, that's right. We haven't.
Oh, God. No, we do need to talk about that a bit. It's just been such a fucking week.
Has.
I forgot.
It absolutely has.
But it was, and that was a part of, like, how I remembered is, like, before the Give to the Max event,
mm-hmm.
I had one of those fucking things happen at me where I was just like, I can't deal right now. I can't mm-hmm. deal with this. I can't do anything. This is awful. So I was like, I'm going to watch an episode of Queer Eye before mm-hmm. I go to Give to the Max.
Nice.
So the episode I ended up watching with my daughter was, I think, the final one of season 4
mm-hmm.
Where they visit a trans man
mm-hmm.
that is a little bit out of post-op for top surgery. So I got to watch that with Jessa, and oh my god, was that an experience.
Because
mm-hmm. Number one, I'm just crying every 5 seconds because I'm like, gender marker on the driver's license. But then, like, to go over some of those experiences with Jessa again and have conversations about what it's like and the mindset and stuff behind it and just all of that was... You should really watch it with a trans person is what I'm saying. Mm. Like,
yeah.
It's a good experience. I've also been watching Queer Eye. That's been my things.
It's fantastic.
What have you been watching?
I've been, like, powering through the entirety of Avatar. The Last Airbender.
Last Airbender, yes.
Yeah.
Not the Blue Beings.
Different from that.
Okay.
And it's good. There's definitely like kids' cartoon hokiness.
Yeah.
But and I understand that I've been deeply spoiled by Steven Universe. And
yeah, you have.
Even to an extent, She-Ra. But
really good.
Avatar is great. And I think it helped to pave the way for shows like She-Ra and Steven Universe. So I appreciate it. And
yeah.
There are very good, very deep story elements.
Oh, God,
and,
yes.
And character moments.
Yeah, so. No, Last Airbender was pretty fucking good.
So there's that. And then I'm in turn experiencing with Brynn the movies that she missed from my childhood, like Street Fighter, the movie. And my favorite thing about this is just during each of these movies, Super Mario Brothers, Ninja Turtles,
Street Fighter,
all of these things, she's like, okay, this just happened. She'll pause it and she'll be like, okay, but why? Is that, am I missing, is that in the game somewhere? And I'll be, no.
Nope.
No, that it's not. No, they did that because they're morons. They just thought it would make a good movie. She's like, but it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Oh, God.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm getting to enjoy those on a completely different level. yeah. Plus Raul Julia.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
Nice.
And that is what I have been watching.
I watched Give to the Max.
Yes.
Well, yes.
There is that.
You've also been watching Disney Plus.
I did. We got Disney Plus.
I figured we could talk about Give to the Max after we touched on that.
I wanted to get through it quick then. My wife, we picked up Disney Plus for the kids. We've been watching some. We watched yesterday with the kids. We watched Oliver and Company.
I haven't seen that in forever.
It's been a long time, and I was both my wife and I were kind of surprised at how many songs we remembered. Like we were singing along with a lot of them, and we're like, "Oh wow,
huh.
Yeah. Neat!"
It stuck with us more than we realized,
right?
And today we watched DuckTales, The Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
Oh.
Which I watched the shit out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I watched that movie. So I was quoting line for line. That movie, I was quoting the whole bloody thing throughout. And I was just like, oh, I'm so happy right now that my kids get to witness this. And my kids loved it.
Nice.
I was just like, yes. But I, after the kids have been going to bed, I have been finally... I realized this was on there, and I was like, yes, I finally get to see these, but I was watching Star Wars Rebels.
Nice!
And finally getting to see those, and I'm really happy about that.
Nice.
So, that's what I've been watching.
Yay! Also Give to the Max.
Also Give to the Max was on Thursday, and we hit our goal!
Yay!
We did hit our goal. But it was karaoke to the max.
Yes, it was.
And we sang the songs.
Oh, yes, we did.
And
yeah.
Your daughter.
My daughter.
Did some awesome shit, too.
My daughter Rickrolled everybody.
A karaoke Rickroll.
It was so good. That's she amazing. Got up there and she's like, I'm not going to explain this. I'm just going to watch your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then the title comes up and everybody's like, ah.
So good.
But she sang the fuck out of that. Yeah. She was real good. The first part when it's all like, she's like dancing like him and like
nice.
Just doing the whole, yeah. So yeah, she sang that. She sang Short Skirt and Long Jacket.
Yep, that Cake. Was that had the audience really
oh
going.
My God.
That one was rocking.
Yeah.
So
You sang
I Will Survive.
I Will Survive. And I leaned over to Kyle. I leaned over to Duck. And I was like, I am really tempted to go up there and do the cake version of I Will Survive right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your daughter got up and did cake. And I was like, okay, now it's just...
Yep.
Now we can.
It's
And the problem, I was having problems hearing.
They had some speaker problems at the beginning.
Which
they
made it difficult.
Later.
It made it difficult, first of all, for when I was singing karaoke. Mm-hmm. But also... which, by the way, when I did that, I'm like, I'm having problems hearing. People started clapping beat. And I was like, oh, thank God, I can actually do this now. Okay, good. that was really helpful. But the other thing that happened was Fearless Fighters met one of our goals.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so that meant that I had to do a sword dance to Eye of the Tiger. And my daughter was the one elected from my team to sing it because we did not win our... fisticuffs moment with so she sang that for me, but there were a couple of problems with this. First of all, the dance, I choreographed it for about twice as much space as I had to actually dance. Because the karaoke stuff took
more than half
the stage. I know it's more than half the stage because I didn't choreograph it for, like, oh god.
Yeah.
It took over about 2/3 of the stage, and like that was difficult for me. But then so that was problem number one. So I had to readjust all of my dance stuff. Number two, I couldn't hear it very well. I didn't realize we had gotten to the lyrics until Jess started singing them, and I'm like, oh, and like I couldn't hear the beat at all. So it was just like every once in a while catching something, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm doing this. But then the third thing that really fucked me up more than anything was that the karaoke version was different.
Yeah.
Than the actual version.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was missing about 32 measures out of that entire fucking song in different chunks. Mm.
There was a few places where, because it was Angela and Eric and, was it Lana?
Liz.
Oh, yeah, it was Liz, did Girls Just Wanna Have Fun.
Yeah.
But it was this weird, like, remix.
Yeah, it was a weird remix version.
And it was great because at first they were like, this is the wrong thing. There was a lot of... But they just, like, kept going. And so they were like... And then, at the breakdowns with, like, the remix breakdowns, Angela, like, halfway through started to rap those.
Yes.
Because they were just like, we don't know what's going on.
That's fucking amazing.
And so she was just, like, reading... She was, girls just want to have, boys just want to have fun, you know, rapping along with it.
She was
going to town. It was so much fun. It was kind of this disaster that became this beautiful thing.
Yeah. But
there was a few spots where the song was not the original.
But yeah, so like, but specific to the dance, I had specific things choreographed for specific whatever. Like, my back was still turned when the lyrics started, and I should have been facing them and had the sword on my head by the time the lyrics started. But there was probably maybe 20 measures that were cut out of that first opening portion. And I'm like, all right, just turn around and get to the next part. And then some of my traveling stuff that looked really cool when I had more space just looked like I was futzing around because I didn't have the space to do it. And then I was like, I should be doing something else now.
I know that is how it felt. I trust you that is how it felt. I saw video.
I watched the video and I was like, oh, that doesn't look nearly as bad as what it felt like. But it still was not as good as what I had choreographed. Oh, yeah. And that's what pisses me off. Is that I spent time into that and then ended up not being able to do whatever. And I would have choreographed different things if I had known about the space, but the space doesn't bother me nearly as much as just missing song and not being able to hear it.
Like, that happens
just
to me,
like,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I think I improvised the hell out of it real goddamn well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, cool. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super sweet. Angela came out afterwards and she's like, oh my God, that's so amazing. And to get that from another dancer, it's just like, okay. Mm-hmm. She's like, when you did the thing on the floor and you went back, and I'm like, yeah, that's that. I mean, that does look pretty fucking cool, doesn't it? Like, you know. But mm-hmm. yeah, I ended up cutting some of my floor work too, because mm-hmm. measures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bothers me. I had cooler stuff I could have been doing, and then now I need to be over here.
Yeah,
son of a bitch.
Well, like I said, the good news is, as an audience member,
audience didn't really know.
Yeah, it looked fine to me.
Joe figured it out. He looked at the video and he went, "Oh, you're. I can tell where you're nervous." I'm like, "You can?" Mm. He's like, "Yeah, you keep doing the hand thing." I'm like, "Yeah, that is kind of my belly dance tell." Mm. Fuck.
At least you're not belly dancing and playing poker at the same time.
You don't know.
I don't.
No. Anyway.
I would have been there, but I was desperately sick still. Yep. I did manage to cough out my Arnold impersonation.
I didn't go in that living room for like 3 days after you guys took it over, by the way.
Wise.
That seems right. Yeah. And then I spent the rest of the night coughing after I did the Tom Cruise run video. And the whole time that I was running, I was just thinking, like, knife hands, knife hands, knife hands, knife hands, knife hands. Because Tom Cruise just runs like his hands are knives.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Yeah. Salsa did have a certain thing that happened at Give to the Max.
No, I didn't.
Ooh. No, you totally did, Salsa.
What happened?
Team Breakfast for Dinner made their goal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we had to sing Breakfast at Tiffany's while eating cereal.
It was 1,000 times funnier than it had any right to be.
I was.
Is there video?
Yes. I was real nervous about it. I thought I was like, this is going to be lame. And then we did it, and it was.
There were certain parts of the melody where you guys are like mouthful going through it that were just gold. It was fucking gold, Salsa.
Yeah, no, it was. It ended up being really funny.
Oh, my
funny.
God. I was hyperventilating.
Shoveling. I brought a box of Kix and a box of Cheerios. And so, like, we're up there singing, just shoveling handfuls of cereal in our mouths in the, like, breaks between lines. And it played.
That was stupid. I was really glad that I did my dance before you guys did that cereal thing, though. Because they're singing and, like, cereal's just flying. Like, yeah.
I hadn't thought about that part of it. I did sweep up afterwards. So.
You did.
Yeah.
There was another thing that happened to you during karaoke.
No, there wasn't.
No.
One of the things you can do at Karaoke to the Max is you could skip the queue. If you paid $10.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed, you know.
Fundraiser, so skip it.
So I had thrown my name on there, didn't do the $10, just so I could, you know, just in case things were a little slow, just that way there wasn't any dead space.
Sure, sure.
Like and I said, you know, mentioned something to Tim, you know, I was like, where am I at? And he's like, there's like two or three people in front of you. I was like, cool, I'm going to step outside and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
I step outside, have a cigarette. Somebody comes out and is like, they just called
that
you.
That was me.
It was you? Okay.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, they just skipped you because they called your name and you were out here. I was like, oh, well, so I finished up and I went inside. and I sat down and Tim gets up and he's like, well, you know, Salsa's back now, so he's next, except... somebody else put $10 in, they're next. I was like, oh, okay. So I sat back down. And then, you know, get done. And then Tim gets up and is like, okay, now it's Salsa.
right after this other person. I got bumped like four or five.
I think it was four or five times.
And every time Tim made it, it was like,
welcome to Jenna's fringe experience.
Yes.
No, it was. And I was
but Jenna, I've calculated the odds. Oh, there's sure, only yeah, like a 27% chance you're not going to get on that you'll be waitlisted.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Fourth from the end. Fuck you.
Like, buy a fucking lottery ticket.
But it was. They're making fun of me, and I was like, honestly, I'm okay with it because the longer I go without singing, the more money we're making.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Too, yeah.
But eventually I did
and
go
the
up.
Funnier it gets.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right?
Oh god. Yeah. So if I had had an extra 10, it would have been 5 to 6 times
at
least.
I was actually, starting to contemplate putting $10 in myself, just so I could do this song. Like fuck it. All right, I'm getting the message here.
Right.
But I finally did get up and I did Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Nice.
And I had the whole audience sing the part.
That's brilliant.
It was a lot of fun.
Istanbul. Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. Although if you think we weren't singing the rest of it too, you were
no, not at all. Not of course not.
Yeah. I was dancing in my chair.
Yeah, that one. There was a few songs that people did that just the crowd went nuts.
That is one of the things that I really love about karaoke, is that if you pick the right song, then
well
the
again
crowd is gonna back you
when your daughter did Cake, it was the whole place was rocking.
Whole place,
like they were standing in their chairs, so it was good.
That's fucking awesome.
Should we take another break?
Yeah. Sure. Right.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And we should do a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
For those that don't know, a Fast Five is you, the dear listener, send us two emails. The first one contains nothing but five choices. We have to choose them. We don't know what they mean. It's only after we've gotten done choosing them that we open up the second email. And we get the context and then
we find out who is right.
Embarrassed or
and who is James.
Yep. Aww. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mav!
Yay, Mav!
Mav's Fast Five, number 7, 1 of 7.
Oh, God.
Okay.
He sent two emails. 1 of 7.
Okay.
Hello, Apropoians.
Ooh, that makes us sound all metropolitan.
I know. So these rules keep changing.
Neapolitan.
Mav says, So these rules keep changing. At least I think they are. I don't know. I'm so confused. I think for now I will just go with what feels is the proper way.
Attaboy.
All right.
It has been a while since my last five. I wonder if Salsa can remember the last one. Or 10. Whatever the case may be. I digress. The Halloween season is firmly upon us, like Trump on a porn star, as luck would have it.
God.
I finally have a small shred of time to myself, and my feet are already kicked up. I present to you another Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Fast Five.
Or 10.
Oh, God.
For all of you to enjoy.
Oh, no.
Not just any old Fast Five. No. No children. This one actually has a theme.
Oh.
I know.
Shit.
Yes, I am feeling fine. In fact, I am feeling amazing.
Oh.
You may already know why, but I will explain in the one of the following emails.
Yay!
Anyway, ready, set, here we go. Question number one. Tricking or treat?
Treat.
Treat.
Trick? In my boss bought a fart machine, and we've been desperately trying to trick each other. Like, we've all been trying to stow that in each other's lunchboxes and things like that. Today, as I was putting on my coat to leave, I found that there was a fart machine in my jacket pocket. And I was like, I believe. Yes, that, but more.
Do you recognize this, James?
I do.
Oh my god!
But it's a remote control fart machine, and he was trying to get me back because I stowed it in his lunchbox, and as he was leaving, went to press the remote on it. Nothing happened because the safety was on.
Oh!
So I had to like chase after him, and I was like, Tom, you've got to. It's the fart machine's in your lunchbox, and he just bust out laughing. And he the next day he came in and he was like, I didn't stop laughing until I had been at home for a few hours, just imagining what would have happened. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, right. Absolutely. Plus, I have cunning plans on how to make this even better.
Oh God.
Would you say then that you need a fart machine cupboard to store the fart machine
Ooh.
In?
Nice.
Like a secret-y fart machine-a-bob. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Question number two.
Yes.
Jump or electronic?
Electronic. I don't jump well anymore. I'm old.
Huh.
Is this starting your car in the winter? Like, jump it with another vehicle or use the electronic starter? Like, the thing?
Maybe.
The, like, battery-powered one?
It might be. I'm trying to think what else it might be.
Would you rather be a scary jumping spider for Halloween or a transformer?
Transformer.
Transformer. Yeah.
Electronic.
It's electronic.
Question number three. James.
I'm going to say electronic.
What? What? Oh. What?
Or Jenna.
Me.
Clearly.
Jenna, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's her podcast.
Right.
Question number four, prison or asylum?
Salsa. Oh.
Asylum.
Prison.
I'm going to say prison, and now I want a Monte Cristo sandwich.
Mm. All right, then.
What? Mm-hmm.
Like, the Count of Monte Cristo. I thought of the Count of Monte Cristo because of prison, and then now I'm hungry for a Monte Cristo.
The leaps that you take sometimes are truly...
Are they electronic?
Like, that's why I chose... I'm going to choose jump.
You're going back and change.
Those are some Olympic level leaps that you're making sometimes.
Ooh. I bet your knees are way better than mine.
Oof. No, they aren't.
Yeah.
Question number five, Freddy.
All right.
Or Jason?
Jason.
I'm going to go Freddy because at Die Laughing, I have seen a couple of different dances. One of them was Becky Schmidt doing Freddy to Dream a Little Dream.
Yes.
And then the other one was previous host Matt Alex doing a Jason-style burlesque.
Yeah, he won.
And
that
if
one.
I had to watch either of those again, it would definitely be Becky doing Freddy.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yep. Chad Dutton came downstairs and he went, what the fuck was that?
He was up fucking set.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was.
Also, that might be one of the only times I've ever seen Becky smile like that. Like she's actually happy. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't creepy, but yes. Yes, that was.
Yeah.
All right. Email to Mavs Fast Five number 7, 2 of 7.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
Just what a monster. All right.
Yeah, that's he only sent me two emails, but it's 2 of 7.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Maybe it's the seventh time he's sent something.
I don't. Trick or treat? Mm-hmm. Are you more of a trick person or a treat person?
More of a treat person.
Treat.
I mean, I'm kind of a smartass. I have in the past tried to do like practical joke type things, but I don't understand like things that I find funny and wouldn't be offended by other people mm-hmm. are. So I just stopped doing that because people would get offended. I'm like, okay. And then be like, how would you feel if I did that to you? And I'd be like, that'd be really cool actually. And then, yeah. So I don't, yeah. And be like, I'd be really impressed if you did that to me. Well, but no, you did it wrong. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh. So I just stopped doing things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it wrong.
Well, and I mean, I've offended more than one person.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, mm-hmm. I just don't do that anymore.
I like pranks that don't hurt people.
Yeah, that's not a prank. That's being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm a big fan of, like, I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. Especially between friends. It's, mm-hmm. it's good. It's fun.
Question number 2. Jump or electronic? Haunted attractions are fun, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone likes them, I suppose. But it can't be denied that it takes a lot of hard work and strong creativity to create a successful haunt.
That's mm-hmm. true.
The art of haunting has changed dramatically over the years and has gone from playing the part of a monster, demon, or ghost to plugging in an appliance and letting electricity do the work. Mm. Do you prefer haunts that have more jump scares, meaning real people, that jump out at you and scare you? Or do you prefer mm-hmm. haunts with more animatronics and more mechanical type scares?
I kind of don't care as long as it's good.
Yeah, as long as it's well done.
Right.
If you use...
I suppose if I had to choose between the two, I'd go for people doing jump scares. Just because I think it's more likely to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But a really good animatronic thing? Mm-hmm. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
And just it's part of the just designing it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you're designing. Because, like, Chip Linebrenner, mm-hmm. when he did the haunted basement, he had the room that just slowly rotated.
Yeah.
You know, just so you don't even notice it, but just enough to disorient you. Like, that is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
No jump scares there. You mm-hmm. know, it's using what you have very well. But like Jenna said, yeah, I'd have to go with it on the whole jump.
I really appreciate the craftsmanship that people put into their work as a haunt when they treat it as an art form. But if they treat it as like an after school job, it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, jump scares. See, this is the problem that I'm having is that I want to choose the human element, but jump scares are inherently not my favorite kind of horror or not my favorite kind of thrill.
Right.
Like my absolute favorite is the mm-hmm. person that's just in the corner mm. muttering something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if or when they're going to reach out. But you have to walk closer to that corner to get out. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Then they don't actually do anything to you, but it's like all of that anticipation. And how are they going to fuck with me? Nope, they just did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that's gold.
One of the places that I've been to a few times has a rolling chamber. One of those ones where the lights... around a bridge through a tunnel
mm-hmm. yeah.
make you feel like you're falling sideways.
Yeah.
And that's shortly after a little motel set thing where they have three different kinds of chambers to send you through. And one of them, as you move through it, because the walls are inflated, you feel pressed tighter and tighter, trying to push through it, and then eventually the walls are like pressing you in and squeezing you, and it's weirdly, and as much as I am not claustrophobic, it is a lot to deal with. It's a lot to take in. I don't know. It's
I think I've told this story recently, but I'll tell it again. When Jessa was probably about 8 or 9, I brought her to Trail of Terror, and we went through the maze. And half the time, it was somebody being like, "Oh, hey, Jessa," like, you know, just like, just be like, "Oh, well done, Don. Well done, Dan." Like, you know, things like that. Oh, hey, yeah, I know that person. But when we got to that tunnel, the spinning tunnel with the bridge, she could not do it. She absolutely could not do it. That was it. That was the thing for her. So.
Yeah. No. I think, given the context of what he's saying, I don't think jump scare necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just that human element, because with a person, right, especially somebody who knows what they're doing,
yeah,
they can gauge the reaction. They can modify. They can, you know.
Yep.
Just tweak things just a little bit to make it better, and
so yeah. So in that case, I would go jump.
Right. Yep.
James or Jenna, you visit a haunted attraction with James, Jenna, and a camera. Don't get cute with that. When you get to the haunted house, you decide someone has to go alone with the camera to record what we all hope will be some of the most entertaining reactions to the scares ahead. Who do you send alone with the camera? Side note, I would be very interested in such an event, just saying.
Yeah, me too.
I would send...
I want to know Salsa's answer before either of us give an answer.
I would send James. Are you kidding?
Why?
Because James is such a sensitive soul that he would... I think he would just both react beautifully and also just be overcome with emotion through a lot of it.
Oh?
What? Yeah. Okay.
It's a solid answer.
Yeah, it is. I will say I cannot go through many haunted houses by myself because I have issues with strobe lights.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you sent me through with a camera by myself, you'd probably get like, "Oh, hey, that's really well done. Ooh, I like what they've done here. Ah, oh, that was startling. Well done, sir." Like, and then strobe lights just like, "Ah, I can't." And like, just me feeling my way around with my eyes closed, trying not to like have it affect me. Like,
and I think that's probably
what would happen if I had the camera.
And I think that's why I would go with James, because he would be less analytical and just he would just be in the moment.
The thing is, I try to be in the moment with that kind of stuff, but because I've spent time as a haunt,
there's a certain part of you.
That's a good point.
When I go through, I'm like, I know where I would hide. Oh, yeah, they're going to do this with the lights so that, yep, oh, there we are. All right.
I will say, I always try to react well when going through a haunt because I know what it's like to be a performer and not have somebody react well to something you're doing. And I'm really good at audiencing. Like, I do audience well.
Okay.
But yeah, there would probably, if I had a camera, I'd probably just be talking to it the entire time.
You'd be hosting.
I really would be.
I hate to say it, but I think most of the time that I go through, I'm just like, oh, whoa.
Exactly.
Oh, neat. Oh, wow. They did that. Oh, and you can't tell which ones are mannequins. Oh, this is great. Yeah. I just, like, I drink it in.
Oh my God. You'd be the Steve Irwin.
Oh my god.
A crocky.
This one's a big one over here. A zombie clown.
Now you see what's going to happen over here.
Oh, he almost got me on that one.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm making him angry.
Question number four.
Oh, God, yes.
Prison or asylum?
Uh-huh.
Road trip. You are driving through a remote part of the country with your friend and mine, Salsa.
Ooh.
It's
really?
3 o'clock in the morning. You two got the last one, okay?
I mean, there's that.
But, friend?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's time to get out and stretch the legs a bit. With his delightful sense of adventure and his keen observation skills for colorful shenanigans, see what I did there?
Uh-huh.
He notices that you...
Fine, you made up for it.
He notices that you have pulled over near 2 abandoned buildings. After some discussion and childish-type name-calling, it has been agreed that you will walk through one of the buildings before hitting the road again. Salsa claims it is so you can experience the history of these mammoth buildings, but we all know right. That is total bullshit.
Seems yeah. right.
Yes.
Do you choose the abandoned prison or the abandoned asylum?
Fuck.
All right. I'm,
oh
I'm
my
going
God.
With the asylum, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yes, okay. please.
About a decade ago, Fondazzi was hired to do a show at a haunted house
okay.
in Sparta, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sparta has a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
I am not joking. This is the actual history. It was an orphanage that was later converted into an insane asylum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the building they turned into the haunted house was the medical building.
Ugh.
Where oh. a lot of people died from tuberculosis.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
So that building already has the trifecta.
Right.
Already.
Yeah.
Orphans, yeah. insane people, tuberculosis, death. We've already got that trifecta in this building. And that is the actual history. That isn't some bullshit they made up. That's the actual yeah. history of this building. And then they turn that into a haunted house.
Yeah.
Because we were entertaining the next day, they gave us a tour of the facilities in the daytime.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, they were showing us the different rooms, and they were like, you know, we have cameras in all of the rooms, that way we can monitor if anybody's having a freak out moment, we need to pull them out or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
We, you know, just that way we can have an eye on the sky and see what everything is like. But we can't put a camera in that room. Every time we've tried to put a camera in that room, it doesn't work.
Huh. What?
there's that.
Yes.
Exactly. It's just things like that. And they're like, and then he brought us into the like underneath the building, and he's like, my dog won't go over in that corner.
Hmm.
Refuses to. Will not go over in that corner.
Oh god.
And things like that. And we're just like, this is fucked up. So, I would go asylum.
yeah.
Also, if you ever get to the Sparta, Wisconsin haunted house for Halloween, do it.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's a thing.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd stick with asylum.
Fuck. I don't want either of these.
This is where the camera's going with me, James.
I guess I would choose asylum. I guess I would choose asylum because.
Because, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Flip a fucking coin, that's why.
Question number 5, Freddy or Jason?
Yes.
You are stuck in an 80s horror movie.
Oh. Mm.
Setting aside that already horrifying fact that it is an 80s movie.
I love 80s movies, you shut your heart mouth, man.
Would you rather be haunted, or would you rather be hunted by Jason Voorhees or Freddy Krueger?
I'm still going to go with Freddy Krueger. Entirely for the reasons that I stated earlier, I believe I would rather be chased by Becky as Freddy
mm-hmm.
than Matt as Jason.
Solid reason.
Jason Voorhees.
Voorhees.
Oh, goddamn. Yep.
Fucking, wow. I can't believe he made me say that out loud.
So there's that.
On a stage.
That was a night. That happened.
That sure fuck did.
I'm going to say Jason, because some of those movies have survivors. And also, like, it's Freddy is wherever you are asleep.
Dream a little dream of me.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. Where Jason is
in space,
effectively. Yeah. So Jason is in a physical location. So there's that.
I suppose I'll go with Jason. I haven't seen either of the movies.
Oh, that was also my first, like, severe horror movie aside from Pet Sematary. It was Friday the 13th.
I just don't like horror movies, so I haven't seen them.
I like psychological horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Hard Candy?
No.
I think you'd like Hard Candy.
I believe
that was
you.
Messed up.
That is so fucked up. I will never watch that movie ever again.
No, yeah.
Actually, no, you know what horror movies I like? Ginger Dead Man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Ginger Dead Man 3.
Frybo.
No. Zombie Strippers.
Ooh.
No.
It's take it off, so baby. Good. Take it all off. Okay. No, don't take your arm off. No.
Zombie Strippers. No. Oh, who is the actor who played Freddy? England. Robert England. Zombie Strippers has Robert Englund in it as the sleazy strip club owner.
That is amazing.
Oh my god,
but it's the zombies start to turn in, or the strippers start to turn into zombies. But it's so bad and good at the same time, because in one scene, one of the zombie strippers is like reading Nietzsche, and she's like, huh, this makes so much more sense now.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
Shit like that. Oh, it's okay. So goddamn funny.
God, yes.
I can appreciate that.
Anyway.
I like smart stupidity.
Yeah.
Have you met my boyfriend?
No, Zombie Strippers is hilarious. It's really funny.
Okay.
Here we go. So, sorry, Salsa. I didn't split this one up into 10 emails. I know how much easier it was for you and how much you enjoyed the convenience of the last Fast Five.
Jesus.
But it was just a bit too much work for my liking. 2 emails for a Fast Five, I feel, is better. So if it's okay with you, I would like to submit all of them this way moving forward.
Oh, what a good idea.
I will drop off some tasty drinks as a bribe for if you, if that helps.
Yay!
It will.
It absolutely will. Yes, please.
I am sure you guessed the theme for this week. James, it was Halloween. Try to keep up, buddy.
Oh.
Because of my passion for this time of year and my background working with haunts,
okay.
I felt it was justifiable.
Jesus. Yeah. Mav is one of my favorite haunts at a particular location.
Now, if you will excuse me, I have a lot to get done before I leave work for the day. I have to tape the bathroom stalls shut from the inside.
Okay.
Switch the push and pull signs on all the doors.
Uh-huh.
Replace all of the fluorescent lighting with high output halogens.
Whoa.
And I am way behind on making Mud's life a living hell.
Aww.
I seriously need to get caught up on that last one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pastimes is making sure to put the cuss in customer for him.
Aww.
Emotions, feeling, and stuff. Mav.
I like Mud.
We love you too.
I tolerate you.
That was
actually good. No, I enjoy you. Especially when you pick on both Salsa and James. Yeah. This pleases me.
If you would like,
I'm going to interrupt Salsa some more. What does it feel like, Salsa?
It's only
What's
fair.
It like?
It's only fair. You have a lot.
Welcome to my hell. All right.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five,
do you think that Mav is going to send us another Fast Five?
I hope so.
Yes.
No, he's going to send us a Fast Six. Apparently.
Oh,
if
God.
You would like to send in a Fast
Mav,
Five,
down?
Please
Mav.
Send us.
No. If you would like to send in a Fast Five,
no, wait, Mav, please send us a Speedy Six.
You know, I'm pretty sure Jenna had a date like that once.
Oh, only six,
Mav.
Huh?
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails.
Mud. We haven't heard from Mud in
salsa at aonpodcast.com. If this is Mav, you need to send three emails. The first one should contain nothing but the choices. The second one should repeat those choices. And the third
location
one should
of
give
the
us
buried
the
treasure.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Mav,
who has
you
a shout out?
Mav, do you see what you've done? Do you fucking see what you've fucking done to us? God damn it, Mav. I would like to give a shout out.
Yes.
I would like to give a shout out to Fearless, but more specifically to Becky for our most recent Give to the Max Day and our success behind that.
Nice.
And a little personal bump bonus shout out to Abby for leading up my team.
Aww.
And being really sweet and awesome about everything. She is delightful and I adore her. So I know that was not a thing she was super, like, she was a little nervous going into it, but I think she did an incredible job, so I wanted to give her a little extra shout out for that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww,
I like Abby.
Yeah.
I like Abby.
My shout out is to Bryn. She provided me soup. And was wonderful and took good care of me while I was feeling under the weather.
And mine is going to piggyback on Jenna's, and I'm going to give a shout out to everyone who donated anything at all during Give to the Max. Thank you so much.
Yes. Except for Troy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Because you couldn't, like, at least split that donation between the three teams.
Oh, no, Troy could have done a lot of things, but...
Yeah, that's it,
Troy's
whatever.
Troy's going
to
Troy.
Yeah.
I mean, I am just going to be mad if it doesn't all go to my team anyway, so I'm just being bitchy about it to be bitchy about
Troy
it.
Troy does
at
need
this
to
point.
Troy.
Yep.
Troy.
Anybody got something to plug?
I did match game last Saturday last minute, so you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, as an aside, Klingon Christmas Carol starts in just a little over 2 weeks.
It's an honorable life.
Klingon Christmas show, It's an Honorable Life. Opens December 6th, which is just a little over 2 weeks.
I am deeply fucking excited.
So y'all should fucking go to that. You can get tickets at moundstheatre.org.
Theatre.
They do have the VIP for $35, including complimentary concession item. It is also right up front, and you may or may not have a Klingon die on your table. So that depends on how well I stick to my choreography, honestly. No, it's not a spoiler. I honestly don't know if somebody's going to fall off the stage during a giant 15-person fight or not. So, I mean...
So there's that.
Yeah, you know. Probably not. Not if they're doing it right. But you never know, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do it up, yo.
There is a Ville show at the end of the month, which is... The last Friday of the month, Black Friday, there is a Ville show.
Racist.
It is the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yes.
I am having looked at the list of games that we have in between the Ville rounds, I'm real fucking excited.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
So,
But are you excited?
Real fucking.
Oh, you're fucking for real?
I mean, there's that too.
Okay.
Yeah. But, after you're done getting a $100 50,000-inch television screen from camping in front of Best Buy after
God.
You eat turkey with your family, by all means... stop
next
by.
Week,
swing by Ville.
Next week, we should tell horrible retail stories.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Somebody write that down so we actually remember.
Yep, I've got paper.
James, that's your job.
On December 1st at 1 p.m., this is a Sunday.
Sunday.
A little weird considering what I'm about to announce. Is Fearless Kids.
Sunday.
This is the show wherein Angela gets a bunch of kids to come and perform songs and things like that. And these kids put in a lot of hard work and deserve an audience. You should go see that.
Where is that located?
That is at the Phoenix Theater.
At the Phoenix Theater.
Phoenix Theater, December 1st at 1 p.m. And it's a good show.
Yeah, go see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do have one more thing.
Sure. Yeah.
This Thursday at Honey, Minneapolis.
Ooh, yeah.
There will be Double Blind.
Yeah, there is.
Some very amazing, talented people are performing.
Yeah, they are.
Joe is, of course, doing keys, and I am, of course, running box office. So, yeah, show up on Thursday, say hi to me, and then go see talented people do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at the list for that.
List.
Fucking wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my roommate's going to be one of them, so that's cool. I don't remember all of them, but so I'm not going to start because then I'll forget somebody and I'll feel bad. But I do know my roommate is listed on there. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend is playing keys. Right. And Eric Thompson is hosting. and other stuff.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Bork. Bork, right. Bork.
Bork, Bork.
In that case, thank you so very, very much to each and every one of you for listening to this episode.
Yay!
Thank you to Mav for sending in a Fast Five.
Yay!
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Bye.
Nom, nom, nom. Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.